Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy New Year. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Let's get going. The inside track for 2018, title of show. Do you really need your joint replaced? Options explored. Big one for you guys, especially over the age of 60. Many of you have heard, replace that shoulder, replace that knee, replace that hip. Your common sense tells you you shouldn't do it. You don't want to do it. Unfortunately, many of you are forced to do it. Yes, there is a shade of gray. Yes, too many of these are done each year unnecessarily because the physical therapy stinks. So first thing, I want to get straight with you, as in straight talk. The decision, even on behalf of an orthopedic surgeon with discretion, that means before he tells you to replace the hip, replace the knee, replace the shoulder, will send you to physical therapy. First statement, the physical therapy stinks. Hands down, I'm going to say that. Take it or leave it. Now, why do I say that? Well, all right. If you can, of course, get to the website straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's .cc with two T's. The picture's worth a show of words. If you're driving, I'll explain it. Bottom line, those of you on the fence about a joint replacement sent to physical therapy, your joint will never stop hurting. Your joint will never stop deteriorating unless you are taught, supervised, and given the time to change the alignment of the joint. No, 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 you don't understand. You may think you do, and so your physical therapist may think he or she understands. Changing the alignment of the joint is not a little thing. It's a big thing. It's almost everything. Now, I would say probably nobody more prolifically explained this, explored this, than Ida Rolf. And if you check any of her literature, I put a lot of these Rolfian-type pictures on the show to explain to you, but really, this is the study of biomechanics. Rolf probably, I think, more effectively elucidated what biomechanics and changing the biomechanics of the body is all about. But make no mistake about it, whether it succeeds or it fails, and it usually fails, whether it's yoga, whether it's Rolfing even, whether it's Qigong or Kung Fu or whatnot, most of your attempts to change the force vectors, the arrows of force through the joint, which determine the alignment, or I could say, those modalities that try to significantly change the posture of the body. Remember, when we're saying change the posture of the body, we're effectively talking about changing the lines of force through the joint. If you're hyperlordotic, if you're kyphotic, if you're externally rotated through the feet, and you change that back to that swaggering gait and posture you had on your wedding day when you were a teenager and captain of the football team. Those of you who go through a real shift in alignment are really, really changing the alignment through the joint. Anything short of that will not allow that joint to stop deteriorating. You got to understand this, because unfortunately right now, when John Q. Public has a knee ache, a hip ache, and a shoulder ache, and they go to John Q. Surgeon, John Q. Surgeon says, John Q. Public, go to physical therapy, we'll give it a shot. And none of what I just described ever occurs in physical therapy. Changing the alignment of a body is an art form, and it is an involved art form. And physical therapists don't make their living from this. You got to understand that too, gang. You really know what you make a living doing. A physical therapist is fantastic. You physical therapists out there catching this show today, no, this is not a criticism of you. You go through a serious surgery, you go through some extreme serious trauma. Physical therapists are fantastic at doing the things you have to have done after either one of those scenarios. That's how they make their living. They don't really make their living taking an orthopedic referral and preventing it from going to shoulder, knee, or hip replacement. That's not what they learn in school. That's not how they make their living. But you see, the orthopedic surgeon has a problem. And the problem is they know deep down inside that often enough when you come in screaming of pain in a joint, they know that in a sense that joint is not ready for replacement. And if they're good withstanding doctors who try to do the right thing, they got a problem. Well, we could replace it now, but let's see what physical therapy will do. And they're saying that because they know darn well that that joint is not, technically speaking, ready for replacement. So they have a problem. They don't want to do it yet. They don't want to do the surgery yet. Many of them don't. Others, forget it. I'll explain that in a second. But many of your orthopedic surgeons don't want to do the surgery because it's not, joint's not really that deteriorated. And so they shuffle you off to physical therapists because that's what you're supposed to do. As a surgeon, that is what you do. You send it to PT. PT has no education. Accordingly, we have a crisis here. And that crisis means you get the screw. And you do. I see it all the time. Joints prematurely replaced. Unnecessarily replaced when rehabs could have been done. Now, here's a caveat to this. The first caveat to this is that if you get your joint rehabbed, if you go in to rehab, you're going to work hard to do it. And if you're not prepared to work hard to do it, and if you're not prepared to be under supervision, then it's going to fail. You don't necessarily rehab a joint in 4 weeks. It may take you 2, 3, 4 months. And there's a million reasons for this. Yeah, it gets integrated. If you're up for hip surgery, but you don't really need it, so your orthopedist sends you to PT, and PT is going to fail you, because they don't understand how to do it. Right there, you're left in limbo. Now, with that limbo comes other considerations. For instance, suppose you're 100 pounds overweight. Suppose you're on the verge of hip surgery and you're 100 pounds overweight. Are you trying to tell me that knocking off 100 boulders might not be the thing to investigate before you get a hip surgery? Are you trying to tell me there's no correlation between the pain in your hip joint and that extra 100 pounds? And of course, these correlations all too often are not made. They're not made. And one of the reasons they're not made is all the focus goes on the x-ray. Look at the x-ray. Look at the damage in the joint. If you lose 100 pounds, that damage is still going to be there. So why should I even bother losing the weight? I'll still have the joint damage. This is a very myopic view of why you have pain in the first place. It's not just the physical degeneration of the joint. It's the angles of force that are compressing the joint that has a lot to do with the pain, not just the physical decay of the joint. You have to get this straight. You take a sizable percentage of those joints that are deformed, not deformed, but that have decreased joint space, cartilage chips floating, osteophytes. You take a fairly high percentage of these types of joints. You change the alignment without changing the condition of the joint, and voila, the pain is gone. Now, I can tell you that for a fact. Any good rehab guy will tell you that for a fact. But from the orthopedic standpoint, the proof is simply the joint's deteriorated. You can see it on the x-ray. You can see it on the scan. And on that basis, there's nothing you can do but replace the joint. That's why in the failure of sophisticated rehab principles, in the absence of really understanding what rehab of a joint is about, the orthopedic guy will figure it's got to be done. Now, here's another problem. If you're 70 years old and you're borderline and you're fairly sedentary and the orthopedic surgeon, he kind of gets hip on your lifestyle, which is poor. You don't really exercise. You eat what you want. You hang out too often in a chair. Yeah, a little gardening, a little grandkid stuff. But by and large, you're not Jack LaLanne. Once they get that idea, they estimate that over 5 years, that joint's going to be gone. And so they save you the time. They figure, listen, you're in pain. It's only going to get worse. Guess what? In most people, it does get worse. Why is my orthopedic surgeon telling me to go into that joint and cut it out and replace it when it's not ready yet? Because the orthopedic surgeon is taught that it's going there anyhow, fast, and why not save you the time? Do it at 70, not 75. Why endure the 5 years of pain? And listen, orthopedic surgeons are not to be attacked for thinking that way. That's not a bad way to think. If you're not going to do anything to help yourself because you don't know, or because real rehab, as I'm pointing out, is too scarce, then isn't it virtuous to tell your patient, replace the hip now or the shoulder now or the knee now, because there's not much you can really do for it. Let's save you the 5 years of pain. Do it now. That's an honest thing to do. That is not a bad thing to do. So you can't attack them. You can't call this greed, because it's not. It's actually good care. See, things are complicated. You might think the orthopedic surgeon is just telling you to replace your joint because he needs another condominium in Florida. It's not the case. You might think it's Big Pharma somewhere behind this. It's not the case. There are holes in our understanding. If an orthopedic surgeon really understood physical rehab, he would tell you to do it, and he does anyway. But orthopedic surgeons don't really understand it. And I just told you, physical therapists don't understand it. Neither of those two arenas make their living from what I'm suggesting you start to learn. Neither one. And if they don't make a living doing it, they're not going to know the nuances of it. All right. Throwing lots of stuff at you as always. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I give you the inside track. I give you the concepts. I bust the myths. I tell you where it's at. And those of you who are sick of being sick that really want to engage, hear me well. Hear me well. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Listen to the shows again and again and again. Study the shows. Look at the pictures. Grasp the concepts. If you're looking for the quick fix, keep turning your radio dial. Don't stop on this station. I mean, don't stop on my show. I am not a quick fix artist. There is no quick fix. That is a myth. That is a marketing myth of holistic medicine to make you think that these fixes are quick. Oh, yeah, I'll save your hip surgery. Just come on down and try this new simple stretch or this adjustment, or I'll put this machine on. I'll give you this herbal remedy. Will MSM fix my hip pain? And there's testimonies to it. Sure, there are. Like one in about 15 million. There's no Cliff Note version. There's no quick fix. Was there a quick fix for you? Was there a quick fix version for you as you attained mastery of what you do for a living? If you're a teacher, if you're a construction guy, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're an accountant, if you own a business, was there a quick fix remedy for your business? No. You sweat it out and you mastered it. And you may have done it quickly, but you would not call it a quick fix. There is no quick fix in healing. Bury that one. When you hear people promise it to you, run the other way. Yeah, things can help. This will help and that will help. You're not in it for help. When you have a disease, when you have pain, when you have a symptom, yeah, okay. Do whatever you have to do to reduce the pain. It's better than nothing. But that's not the game you're in. Your dream is to be free of health, free of pain. Your dream is to be healthy again. Your dream is to do all the things you want to do that you used to do without thinking about whether your body was going to fall apart. That's what you're in the game for. So you can't take the Cliff Note version. My show is not the Cliff Note version. Listen hard. Another thing, the X-ray. The X-ray or the MRI or the CT scan that you don't understand when the doctor throws it up and has you take a look at it. You don't know what you're looking at. You just nod. Everyone nods. I love that. Everybody just nods like they understand. You know, people look like those dogs they put on the back of the car, you know, those things that nod up and down. That's what an office visit looks like with a lot of patients. But they don't understand. You pretend you understand. Don't do that with your doctor. He's talking to you in a foreign language, and he knows he is, and he should take the time to translate it to your level. When you ask your doctor to explain himself like a human being, rather than using his medical vernacular so that you can understand it, that does not mean you're stupid. It means you're smart to ask your doctor to translate so you can understand. You got to look at your own X-ray. They're going to show you a decreased joint space. You see that space there? It's smaller than the other space. That's why you need to get your hip replaced. Decreased joint space. That is not true. The biggest single major mistake doctors make, medical doctors make, when they look at these X-rays is to claim that decreased joint space and pain means you need the replacement now. They may be thinking ahead, like I just said a minute ago. And you can question that. In a way, it's not a bad idea. But the notion that you see that decreased joint space, you have to do that surgery now or you'll never get out of pain, that is nonsense. They're going to show you little joint mice, little chips of cartilage that are lost at the joint ends. If you're on the website, you can look at the pictures so you know more what I'm talking about. I'm going to go to a half an hour show pretty soon. I'm going to give it to you quicker and more poignantly. You know, there's a lot of subjects that don't work for an hour that work for half an hour. So I'm going to go to a half hour format and I'm going to play with that for a while. And lots of other topics will open up that really wouldn't be appropriate for an hour, but that I'll just give to you a half an hour. Many of you will appreciate this shift. You'll have less headache by the time the show is over, perhaps. I don't know, but I do know next week is a half an hour show, and we'll take it from there. Again, as I've said, I'm working out the idea that I'll start a school again. I have so many people that are listening to the shows hours per week consistently. And what I think I'm going to do with those people who have basic understandings is bring them together and have them exchange something people in LA don't like to do. Nobody wants to talk to anybody about anything. I tried this before with the same intention and it worked, but I really wasn't satisfied with the exchange. So I want to create about 10 to 20 people that come every 5 or 6 weeks, listen to the lecture, and then engage their health experience. Great way to learn. We do this for investments. We can do it for health. All right. All right. Let's go to this topic. You have an X-ray taken of your hip, and the head of the femur, the circular head of your thigh bone, again, you can look at the pictures, as it fits into the hip socket, the head of that femur, of that thigh bone, the ball that goes into the socket, and we're talking about the ball, that ball is deformed. Instead of it being round, it's flattened. That's kaput, guys. That's a hip replacement. You're not fixing that. Once you have bony deformation of the joint, once the femoral head has been remodeled to the point where it's kind of flat, always this will mean no joint space. Not a little joint space, no joint space. You have to replace your hip. So understand that there is a line there. That's one of them. When your orthopedic surgeon says, you see the ball that goes in the socket, that ball's not a ball anymore. It looks like a ball that was bashed into a wall. It looks like a flat fist. That's when you do a hip replacement, and be glad we have hip replacements, or that's a life of pain. So remember that. Surgery sometimes appropriate. Before surgery, shift the alignment and learn that art, and I'll get to that later. Now, another one. It's called PRP. I put this on picture 23 and 24. Some of you have heard of PRP. It's called platelet-rich plasma. Sort of a goofy abbreviation. PRP means platelet-rich plasma. Very simple. They pull blood. They extract some blood. They take the blood. They centrifuge it. It concentrates the platelets. Then they take the platelets and they inject the platelets into the joint. And guess what? The platelet activates all sorts of compounds, chemicals that serve as growth factors, including the stem cell aspect. And on that basis, you begin to grow cartilage. You'll grow collagen, elastic fibers. This is great for moderate tears, sprains. When they tell you that the cartilage is worn off the joint, you go for the PRP. This is something your orthopedic surgeon should do. Lots of them are pushing it to the side. Lots of orthopedic surgeons are not recommending it. I think they're liable on this one. My call right now is their claim it doesn't work is bogus. If your orthopedic surgeon says PRP does not work, it's bogus. He's suspect. It may not work for you. Why? Your femoral head is deformed. If the joint is disturbed to the point where the bone has remodeled, PRP is not going to work. So if your surgeon tells you it's not going to work for you, that's a different question. But PRP, make no mistake about it, is here to stay. That and prolotherapy. Here to stay. I see this help people all the time. All the time. It should be one of your first lines of defense against a statement by an orthopedic surgeon that says you need to have the joint replaced. Before you get your joint replaced, find the money for PRP. No, your insurance will not cover it. Forget it. Well, I shouldn't say that, but 99% of insurance does not cover PRP or prolotherapy. It's going to stay that way, too. You have too much prejudice against both prolotherapy and PRP. You pay cash. It's worth it. You're up for a joint replacement. You're in constant pain in the shoulder, in the hip, in the knee. You get an injection or two of PRP. Yeah, you spend the $1,000, $1,500, sometimes $1,000 a pop. It depends. It depends who does it. The naturopaths are doing it. A lot of them, they keep their prices down. Your big shot sports medicine orthopedists, their prices are going to go up. That's just the market. But you get a shot or two of PRP over a month or a couple of weeks or whatever, and you're out of pain or you feel better, it's a good sign. It's worth every dime. So don't think it's one of these wacky, quacky, holistic therapies that may work if you like to hallucinate. No, PRP can work. Again, someone's got to determine if it can work for you, and you may not know until you do it. So, John Q. Public's told it's time to replace the joint. You go to the PRP first. Now, I said I'd get back to alignment, and I am. Alignment. If you look at a hip joint, go on the website and do it later or now. But the number of muscles, tendons, and ligaments that are responsible for how the femoral head, the ball on the thigh bone, the femur that fits into the socket of the pelvis, known as the acetabulum. As the femoral head fits into the acetabulum, the number of ligaments and tendons and muscles that control those angles are enormous. Trust me, by the time you're degenerating in your hip joint, you have basically fibrosed the joint, meaning that joint is biomechanically dead, meaning the angle at which the femur is pounding into the hip socket, that angle is not at the angle it was designed to do. Your force vectors are off. The compressive forces into the joint are not correct. And that's most of your problem. It's one of the big reasons the joint's degenerating. That's one of the big reasons the joint's in pain. And if you don't fix that, it's likely you're not going to fix anything. As I said, the orthopedist has no real understanding of this. And the physical therapist has no real therapy to give you. And to change the alignment to the point where you're out of pain, it may take you 6 months, 8 months. It could take you a year, depending on who you are. Is the therapy costly to do this? No, it's not. It's labor intensive. It just means you have to get flexible, not just in the hip joint, through your whole body. So if you wanted some brand new ancient therapy that you've never heard of before, sorry, I don't have to give you one. I'll just give you what works. It's called You Have to Get Flexible. Now, those of you who listen to the show regularly know I don't mean what you think I mean. You think getting flexible means just going on YouTube and looking at a couple of people in a Pilates or yoga class tell you this is good as a hip stretch. No, that's the joke of it. If you go to show 243 and show 244 on my website, straighttalk.cc, show 243, show 244, and you go there and you look at the stretches and listen to the lecture, listen to the show. What I'm trying to explain to you, what I'll probably die trying to explain to you, is the difference between the reality of opening up that joint for the force vectors to change and what you think you're doing when you're stretching. Huge difference between the two. For you to change the force vectors through the joint so the joint stops hurting, so the joint stops deteriorating, you not only have to open up the belly of the muscle, meaning lengthen it, you have to take the stretch into your tendon, meaning at the joint where the tendon is, you have to feel that part of the stretch stretch. From where you start to where the tendon starts to stretch for you up for a hip replacement is a far cry. By the time the force vectors into the joint have destroyed the joint, by the time the joint is destroyed, the belly of the muscle, the belly of the thigh muscle in this case, is so locked up, it is a ball of congestion. And at that point, you have no chance of decompressing the hip joint. So you can stretch all you want. This is the myopia of physical therapy. When the orthopedist sends you to a physical therapist and the physical therapist has you do stretching and strengthening, this is ludicrous. You're stretching, if you're lucky, into the belly of the thigh muscle. It completely obliterates. It completely precludes. It completely proceeds without any association to the tendon of the joint. Here's what's even more demanding. After the tendon starts to stretch, then you have to decompress the joint, meaning you have to work out the adhesions in the joint. When you have cartilage with dried synovial fluid impinging into the joint space itself, when you have ligament snuggling into that, you have one mass of fibrosis. You have tons of fibrin, other forms of adhesion that have locked the joint, which you're not going to get to until the tendon stretches, which you're not going to get to until the belly of the muscle stretches out. It's like the same, it's the same thing for the knee, just different muscles and tendons, and it's the same thing for the shoulder. It's the same thing for the ankle. It's the same thing for the vertebra of the spine. So when you're talking rehab, oh, go see the PT. I'm not going to do the surgery yet. If PT fails, then come back. That physical therapist has no concept of what I'm talking about. None. Most people don't. That's why I do this show. I would be doing what everybody else does. Just following the old cookbook. We need to look at what we're doing. We really do. Holistic medicine is a wonderful, sacred. It's a sacred dance. And you meet God there. If you expect to heal, you're going to meet God. And God's going to ask you to deal with what you have to deal with internally. You can't take the soul out of a serious healing. You cannot take the soul out of a healing. This is the idiocy of science. From brain tumors to toe fungus, you cannot take the soul out of a healing. And you'll meet your soul as you investigate yourself in your journey. When you're trying to rehab a joint, there's a lot of soul-filled reasons that that alignment has deteriorated into the mess that it is. And any of my shows on posture, postural shifts, any of my shows on what alternative medicine has to do are filled with undercurrents, always filled with subtext. So, the alignment into the joint. Maybe you'll be granted a quick fix of PRP. try the PRP first. Then you've got to engage in some sort of flexibility training. It can come from anywhere. Don't be a fool and think that these concepts are limited to one particular arena of physical therapy. It's not about the Pilates. It's not about the yoga. It's not about the Qigong. It's not about the Tai Chi. It's not about the Kung Fu. It's not about the Egoscue. It's not about whatever it's about. It's about any one of those therapies understanding this principle. If the therapy or the therapist understands the principle and demand of shifting alignment, you're in good shape. But no one title has a monopoly on this. Take a look at yourself when you were married, first married. Take a look at yourself at 20 years old, at 18 years old. Look at how your bones stack up. Yes, you can change yourself back into that. You can do that. I think I'll comment on that in a moment. You can do that. But for you to get rid of a bad shoulder, a bad hip, a bad knee, a bad ankle, for you to get rid of any one of those prospective joint problems that are going to end up in surgery, you must get back to that alignment you had when you were 20. If you understand nothing from this show, you must understand that your job after you're told you need a surgery for a joint, and you don't want one, and you've got a shot at it, until you have shifted your alignment back to the alignment you once had 40 or 50 years ago, until that's done, you're not going to be able to determine success or failure. It could take you 6 months. It could take you a year. It can be done. You have to get through the belly of the muscle, the tendon, and then decompress the joint. A lot of time, decompression into the joint, meaning pull the joint space open, requires physical manipulation. Some form of serious body work. Someone that knows how to get into the joint and pull it open. But again, you have to respect the sequence I gave you. You can have a Rolfer or some form of a body worker that knows how to get in there and pull a joint open. It doesn't work if you don't have the flexibility to back it up. If you're not stretching into the joint in that sequence I discussed, meaning you've worked through the belly of the muscle, you can pull the tendon, and you can decompress the joint in a stretch. If you don't present that way to your therapist, to your body worker, he or she are not going to be able to do anything with your body that's going to be permanent. I'm not mincing words. There isn't one thing I've said in the last 38 minutes that you're allowed to skip. Everything means something. Now, if you get a joint replacement, one of the reasons it's bad is after the replacement, you have limited range of motion. Even if you need a joint replacement and then you have to get one because it's just agonizing pain and no one's going to rehab it once the femoral head is flat or there's just been too much degeneration. Once there's been too much degeneration, again, determining that is its own art, you need the replacement. But the problem with the replacement for the knee is that you cannot fully flex the knee. You can flex the knee to about 75 degrees. That's bad. Because if you can't really flex the knee, in other words, you can't really bend your heel to your buttocks. Somewhere as you bend the heel to the buttocks, the joint's going to lock because of the replacement. That's bad. It's really bad. The people that do these surgeries, that make these joint replacements should figure that one out. I can tell you this, if you can get away, if I had to have a joint replacement for the knee, I'd do the semi. I'd do a partial, because with a partial, you can still bend the heel all the way to the buttocks. And that allows you to do what? Stretch the quad. Your thigh muscle needs a full lengthening when you stretch it. And once you sacrifice that, your hip, your back, and your brain are going to go. You put a hunk of metal in the body and then limit the range of motion of that joint. You have changed. You have really changed. And it's the same thing with the hip joint. When you've had a full hip replacement, it tends to limit range of motion. And you can increase that range of motion in the hip, but usually you're so fibrosed, nobody ever investigates it. And even though you're out of pain, your lines of gravity, your energy flow through that area has changed significantly. All the more reason why you don't go to a joint replacement unless you absolutely have to. Titanium in your body is not good. It is a cost-benefit decision. What would you rather have? The blockage from titanium in your knee or agony every day of your life because you needed a joint replacement? Of course you're going to put the titanium in. But if you could avoid it, if you could avoid it, if you understood the dynamic of it 5 years before it was absolutely necessary, boy, would you save yourself a lot of pain. And that's the point. Alternative medicine is preventative medicine. We should all be trying to prevent the problem. And that means the public's got to be informed. Well, be informed. Be informed on this day. That if you're coming down the pipe for a replacement, do something 3 years, 4 years before. And that's why you got to listen to this show. Anyone hovering in the galaxy of joint replacement needs to say, by the time 2018 ends, I am going to have a completely different alignment in my body, and I'm going to feel a freedom through that joint I never did. Tandem to that, I'm going to take a few hits of PRP or Prolo or some combination of such. I'm going to knock out all the pro-inflammatory markers. In other words, the stuff that has nothing to do with the joint that's going to cause the joint pain. I'll get to that in a second. That's how you have to think of it. And if somebody rang the replace the joint bell and you can figure out you don't need it yet and it's worth investigating an alternative, you've got to do exactly what I just said, but even faster. Welcome to 2018, the year of activation for you. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. If you've got issues with your health and you're lost in the labyrinth and you want to really do something about it, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Give my staff a call. I have a wonderful staff. They'll listen. We'll figure out if I can help. You've got to help me so I can help you. You have to come not as someone who knows, but as someone who's open to listening and ready to work. Ready to work. Nothing wrong with work. Nothing worthwhile comes without work, right? It's okay to say that. All right, now, let's say you're 100 pounds overweight. Let's say you're not sleeping. Let's say your insulin is running high and your blood sugar. Let's say you're under enormous emotional stress. Let's say I just defined about 80% of the world. Well, guess what? That's going to destroy your joint. So what are we doing here? How dumb is medicine? How absolutely dumb is medicine? When was the last time you went to your orthopedic surgeon or anybody with joint pain and they said, well, you're not sleeping. You eat like garbage. Your insulin's running high. Your glycosylated hemoglobin's up at 6 or 7. You told me 5 reasons you hate your life. You didn't even know you did, but you did. The darn traffic. My wife, my husband, snoring all last night so I couldn't sleep and couldn't care less about it. There's 3. You came in with a cup of coffee. You smell like cigarettes. I mean, people come in all the time, and by the time they sit down, they've given you 10 reasons, they don't even know it, why they're in a state of massive inflammation. And then you, the patient, you, the doctor, have this fine discussion about your hip pain. And no mention of the 10 things that are promoting its deterioration. Think about that. Go ahead, think about it. Think about when you saw the chiropractor. Think about the acupuncturist. Think about the physical therapist. Think about the orthopedic surgeon. Think about the massage therapist. And think about how little is discussed outside the focal concern about that joint when all these things are destroying the joint. Now, of course, it may not be your physical therapist or massage. You may have a really good one, and I'm here to thank them, and you should thank them for thinking outside the box. But I can tell you a good 90% of what's out there, they don't get into these extraneous factors because they're termed extraneous. They're not extraneous. They're at the gut of the problem. If you're overweight, if you're not sleeping, if you hate your life, if you're under tons of emotional stress, if your blood sugar's high, if your pHs are off, if you're infected, if you've never stretched one day in your life, there's a bunch of great reasons why your hip is falling apart. Your ankle, your shoulder, your knee. What are we talking about the single joint for? What are we talking about the single joint for? That joint is in a family of other joints. Those joints are in a family. It's called the body, the human organism. You can't just pull one piece out. That is an idiotic way to approach health. Unless the trauma to the joint is massive. There's a reason you compartmentalize concern. There's a reason by the time the joint gets to the point, the joint's destroyed, well, then you have to address nothing but the joint. But to prevent it from getting there, you have to look at the whole body. You see where those lines should be drawn? You're getting it. I can tell you're getting it. Show 347. Do you really need your joint replaced? Options explored. PRP, shifting the alignment. Taking out the extraneous factors. Now, the bodywork piece. The bodywork piece. At some point, that joint, long before it got moderately to seriously destroyed. So years before, the posture shifted, years before, the joint got so compressed that little immune system cells started signaling for the formation of scar tissue. Scars began to form in the fascial sheets around the joint. A scar is a piece of connective tissue whose fibers are all tangled up. Tandem to that is the deposition in the liquids. Whether those liquids are the blood, whether those liquids are the synovial fluid, whether those liquids are the intercellular fluid. But where there's fluid, the immune system will depose, deploy, create webs of fibrin. So in that joint, when I say long before you even had pain, definitely when you have pain, and definitely when joint replacement is hovering over into the sky, your joint is a congested mass of glue, fibrin, and adhesion. And by the time you start to expose that, meaning connect yourself to the tension there, you're going to need some help with somebody's elbows. There is a real need for hands-on massage therapy deep into that joint to pull it apart after you've preconditioned it by learning to shift your alignment. Now, this is a show you're going to have to listen to again. You're going to need to listen to the show again. Listen and think. Don't say you've tried what I've said. You haven't. I promise you, you haven't. If you think you've done what I'm talking about, then you haven't listened enough. By the time you've shifted your alignment and have stretched through the belly and tendon into the joint itself, you're going to get hung up there because you need somebody to put their elbows into the joint and pull it open. Cross fiber out the adhesions, break up the fibrin. This should be done, by the way, in conjunction with nutritional therapy. Lots of herbs that do this, that help this. So you can help the stretch. Flush the liver, it helps the flexibility. Serratio peptidase, notokinase, really good for busting out the fibrin and other sorts of plugs into the joint. The progressive effect of aligning serious flexibility training with serious body work, with serious cleansing, will make your joint new. That's right, it will. My deepest wish would be for people to understand this. When I went to chiropractic school and I was valedictorian of my class, I mean, I really just ate it up. There was no real emphasis on this. They were teaching us to adjust the knee and adjust the shoulder. And while those things may help, it's like it's a first base therapy. It's not what you're paying for. You want to get that knee, that hip, back to the tennis game, to the golf game. You don't want to be thinking about your joint anymore and whether you're tearing it up. But you have to understand these principles. That's your job. If you don't take it into your own hands, if you don't learn this, it's shame on you, because the model, the market, isn't going to give it to you. You've got to take it from the market. You have to make your doctor work for you. You got to engage. It's the way the world's always been for everything. If you sit back and think it's going to come to you, you're in trouble, my friend. Extraneous factors, you got to take care of them. PRP, Prolo, you got to give it a shot. Understanding truly how to stretch. Knowing the limitations of the joint replacement. If it's the knee, do half of it. See if your doctor can agree to do a partial knee replacement. You'll save the flexibilities. Just from the standpoint of simple rehab, after you get the joint replaced, you really got to stretch it out then. Now, this is something physical therapists do an okay job teaching you. Again, the physical therapist understands post-surgical rehab. But still, all too often, you're left crippled in the joint because you didn't stretch it out and cross-fiber it out after the joint's been replaced. Once they say, oh, you did your 16 weeks of rehab, you're fine, we put you in the pool, we did enough ultrasound, enough interferential, enough stretching and strengthening, enough massage therapy, it's 4 months post-surgery, you're good to go, just forget about it. You're not the same. no joint replacement leaves you with an alignment that can work for your health instead of against your health. So even if you get the joint replaced, everything I said is true. Then there's the issue of infection. I think your doctors do a great job. I have people, you know, they get their teeth fixed and they get root canals, and the notion that some tooth infection is going to go down to the joint, or some joint infection is going to go up to the tooth, and the necessity of the antibiotics to prevent this. Statistically, it's very unusual to have these sorts of problems. There are concerns about infected joints, that the titanium will create a biofilm, and the biofilm will create problems and seed infection, and before you know it, there's going to be some systemic infection circulating. I don't know about this. I mean, there are cases of joint replacements creating biofilms, creating infections, but I don't think you're dealing with anything but a real minority. What will screw up a prostate after the hip replaces, what will screw up the heart after the shoulder replaces, what will mess up your kidney after the knee is replaced, kidney's knee, what will mess it up is the drastic change in alignment. And that's the context in which you should understand part of the risk. That aside, I would minimize the infectious concern due to biofilms post-joint replacement. All right, there is the show. I hope you learned something. If you're lost in the labyrinth of help and you need guidance, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. That's my office. Do it now. It's early in the year. I'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.